your hymnal with me this morning. Let's turn to page number 299. Page 299.
The blue, the angels beckon me from heaven. good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It is kind of a little bit dreary, drizzly outside. Cindy said she heard a little bit of sleet at the house this morning, but I think I was still snoring. I didn't hear it. But I'll have to take her word for it. She says I'm praying again, or I know some of y'all are, but she's still wanting that snow.
Go north.
Yeah. It did? See there. I'm glad it was you and not me. There, our Bartlett pear tree's got a few blooms on it, and it's fixing to be just completely loaded if it don't frost or freeze. And that tulip tree she's got in the front yard has got a bunch of purple that's just opened up, but not completely, and it'll probably all get bit. And then, but I guess it's the way it is. It's a good thought anyway. It makes me think about spring. Oh, what Brother Russ said, today is the first day of spring. You don't feel like it. Huh? 3 weeks? I misunderstood. I'm sorry, Russ. Where'd he at?
First day of spring
quarter. Oh. I apologize. First day of something. It's a, yeah, okay. Well, it's good to be here. We had a good class this morning. Invite everyone, if you're not coming to Sunday school class, you're missing a blessing. Do a lot of sharing and learning and studying. Invite you to come. All right, this morning will be our building fund offering, so the second time the plate is passed will be for the building fund. You know, it takes care of remodels and repairs and future projects, so keep that in mind. This morning also we'll have a guest speaker, Brother Raymond Foster. I'll introduce him in a little bit. This evening is our business meeting, so if you want to know what's going on around here, really, you need to come to the business meeting. Oh, and by the way, you need to come anyway, because we need all the help we can get. This is God's business after all, so tonight at 6. Tuesday, March the 5th, we will be observing the Lord's Supper here at 6 o'clock. Miss Mary Lou will be preparing the meal. Next Sunday, the 10th, daylight saving time begins. I love that time myself. It gives me a little more time of the afternoon to work some more after my other job. Y'all know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, well, sleep's overrated anyway. Right. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy, and next Sunday, Cindy and Jerry. Any other announcements? Anything else going on? Okay, it's good to have Miss Betty with us today. Sarah and her family. Amen. It's always good to have y'all. And the Fosters, we'll talk, we'll introduce them a little bit. We're glad to have you here.
Page number 108.
Save me.
see everybody out on this really, really nasty, rainy, cold day. But it's Amen. Warm and the lights are on in here. So
Amen.
We're looking forward to a good day in the Lord.
Amen.
I know that we're going to hear a good message from Brother Foster here in a little bit. He's going to tell us a little bit about the mission work that's going on. And we, the choir, we have a special for you this morning. It's entitled, My God is Real.
Few months we've been praying and talking and searching for where God would want us to send some mission monies that have been freed up for various reasons, and God has sent us a few options, and Brother Foster is here this morning from the MBSF over in Malvern to present us with another option, and obviously we want to do what God wants us to do. I'm thankful to Brother Foster for coming to share his work with us. I do ask him, as well as everybody here, to be in prayer for our church, that we would do what God wants us to do. That's, you know, maybe God has more than one thing for us to do at this time. It don't just have to be an either or, so just keep your hearts and your minds open and let God lead I encourage you to come to business meeting tonight because I don't know, we may be making a decision tonight. But without further ado and without taking up his time, I want to introduce Brother Raymond Foster, who is the director of the MBSF and College of the Ouachitas in Malheur. I'm going to let him introduce his family and tell you a little bit about himself. He's going to bring the message too, but I want him to know that we're not on a time schedule. So if y'all have questions whenever he presents the word, please ask. And then he can just preach as long as he wants to. Whatever God lays on his heart, that's what we want. And so, Brother Raymond, if you'll just come, I'll just turn it over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm a sound guy at my church, so I know I always got to turn the mic on. I always got to remember that when I walk up here. First of all, I want to thank everyone here for the opportunity to come and preach and present our work here at Coto Campus in Malvern. To give you a little bit about myself, my name is Raymond Foster. I'm a fourth-year seminary student down there in Little Rock, Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock. And Lord willing, if I get through Hebrew this semester, I will graduate on May 17th, so y'all pray for me. I've been here in Arkansas for about 2 years now. I'm originally from Texas. I was born in New York. I moved around a bunch. No, I'm not a military brat. I get that a lot. But back in 2007, I moved to Denison, Texas, where I met my wife, Danielle. She's back there. We've been married for, it'll be 9 years in May. So, you know, we have three children. Presley, she's 5 years old. She's sitting back there with my wife. You'll probably hear her, so, you know, she's okay. But and now my other two children, I believe, are in the nursery. I have a 2-year-old son. His name's Grayson. He just turned 2 yesterday. And then I have a 3-year-old, another daughter. Her name is Kendallin, and she's the curly-head girl in the nursery. So you'll see her. And I don't know where she got the curly hair from. But to give you a little bit about MBSF here, I've been the director of the MBSF program at Coto. It's the College of the Ouachitas in Malvern since December. Now, before that, I have about 6 to 7 years of experience as a youth pastor. My last church that I youth pastored under was Jim Mullins, a Bethel Missionary Baptist Church in Morrilton, Arkansas. And I left there in December to come to Second Baptist in Malvern. Currently, we have a team of 3 or 4 people that are coming in every Monday from 12 to 1, which is our weekly luncheon meeting. What we do is we come on campus from 12 to 1 on Mondays, and we feed our college students, not only physically but spiritually. We have a meal for them. For instance, tomorrow we're doing lasagna and garlic bread, so hopefully you won't stain up the carpet too bad. But then we also give them a devotional, a 15 to 20 minute devotional during this time. Our meeting is kind of cut a little short right now because their classes don't get out until actually 12:15, but we're making it work. So we're going to do a little adjustment. This semester I've taken it as more of an adjustment period. We're going to see how things roll and then adjust over the summer. We are also, I'm excited to announce that we have gone into the nursing program down there in Coto. We have gotten with Miss Melinda Sanders. She's the dean of the nursing program there. And she has allowed us to come in graciously and do pretty much whatever we want, which is great because this gives us another opportunity to reach about 200 to 300 students that weren't necessarily reached before I came. What this does is this allows us to get into a demographic of students that are maybe a little older adults that are coming in and getting their RN license after they've already received their LPN license. A lot of these people are single mothers or mothers that got their degree right out of high school and they're coming back to finishing up their RN license to maybe better their family. And it has been amazing to be able to go down there. Right now we are, every other Thursday we're going down there, we're giving them a meal of their own and being able to present our work and present the meetings that we're having on Monday. So if they're allowed to come between their classes, they're more than welcome to. And we're planning on doing some more things down there. And we're just trying to run with that as we go. I want to give you a little statistics here about college kids. 70% of students, college students that is, entering either the work field or a vocational like a cosmetology or nursing, or even just going to studies, going to university, getting their education, their secular education after high school. 70% of these students abandon their faith or their church after they graduate high school. 70%. What we're doing here at MBSF, it allows us to have a more one-on-one connection. As you know, College of the Wachita is a community college, which allows us to have, like I said, more of a one-on-one connection with our students. We're not seeing 100 students coming in at once with a team of only 3 people. Rather, we're seeing about 10 students coming in with a team of 3 people. Now, numbers, that doesn't seem super great, but we're able to minister to these kids on more of a one-on-one level, which is amazing. And that number keeps growing every week. Right now, like I said, we're doing weekly Monday luncheons. As the mission grows, we're going to need more volunteers for food. We would love to have some people come in and help feed our students, as well as speakers. We love to have pastors or deacons or anyone that would like to come in and give their testimony. We have a lady that we're going to be scheduling in the next few weeks to come and give her testimony as a community college student that received her RN degree and has gone on and retired from her RN, her long successful RN career. Also, like I said, we have these bi-weekly fellowships at the RN program. We're going to be doing snacks and different meals for the RN program. And we have weekly Thursday campus visits. What that means is on Thursday, when I get out of school at 1, I go straight over to Cotto and I talk to the kids. I interact with them. I try to be a face on campus. Now, the great thing about Cotto in a community college and it being located in Malvern is everyone goes to church somewhere. I'm talking from the college student that just started this semester all the way up to the vice principal of the admissions program or the entire college. I've met her. She's a wonderful lady, and she's allowed us to do pretty much whatever we want on campus. Whereas in a university setting, you have to go through so many red tapes and so many hoops. We're allowed to come on campus and set up a booth, give out popcorn and pray with students, come in and see if we can give Bibles to students. We're allowed to do that stuff because we're more of a community college level. Like I said, our mission right now, we have short-term and long-term goals. Our short-term right now is we really just covet your prayers spiritually. We want this mission to thrive. We want it to succeed in a way that it will honor God. Also, we would love to have speakers come, even if you don't decide to sponsor our mission financially. We'd still love to have any of you come out and speak and have a devotional time if you'd like. One of the reasons we are currently looking for extra support is because we're looking to come on and be able to pay for more luncheons and more Bibles. The reason we're only doing a bi-weekly meal right now for the RN program is because that's quite frankly, that's what we can afford to do. I like to push the limits as far as how much we can get out of our money, but that only goes so far, and we're trying to get on campus more. Also, the extra support will help us to be more of a permanent face on campus. Our long-term goals is to be able to come in and provide Bibles to those that are unchurched. Out of the 10 students or so that I see from week to week, I have about 1 or 2 of them that don't even go to church anywhere. And honestly, I can't get a hold of them long enough to see if they even know about God's Word, if they have that relationship with Christ. And a little bit about myself, I was raised as a Catholic. That's C&E Catholics. That's, you know, Christmas and Easter only. My family didn't go to church. I didn't really set foot in church. And if it wasn't for the grace of God and my wife meeting her in high school, I wouldn't have really been led to the Lord at all. So you get a lot of these students that might not even know about Jesus, might not even have that relationship with Christ. And one of the long-term goals I would like to have is have a stockpile of Bibles that maybe I can give out. I can show them, look, you know, there's a reason that God's Word is here. There's a reason that He put me in your life to minister to you, to be able to give you God's Word, and you can read it for yourself. So that's some of our long-term goals. My mission for the MBSF is I want to lead MBSF more on a community basis. This isn't just about a single church or a single preacher. Now, we are a ministry of Second Baptist in Malvern. If you've ever been to Malvern, you probably know about Second Baptist. But I want to be able to run MBSF on a more community basis. I'm not just shoveling everyone and trying to funnel them into Second Baptist. I want them to find a church that they can connect with, that they can find a home in. And that's why we're in the process of getting these postcards made for the RN program and for these college students, that we get a list of churches on the back and our times for our luncheons on the front. And we can give these to them, and they can go check out these services for themselves. Second Baptist is more of a large church. It's more of a very large atmosphere. And some people might not like that. They might want more of a small church atmosphere. And we want to connect them with a church, an ABA church that can do that for them. We want to have a village to help guide the hearts of these young adults. I would love for these students to have a full network of support, of Christian community that is all united around these people. That's all surrounding. If it's Hot Springs, it's Malvern, it's Haskell, it's Little Rock, it's Benton, it's Bryant, wherever they might live. They have a community of Christians there willing to pray for them, willing to help them as much as we possibly can. So do we have any questions? I want to open it up for questions or concerns.
So they don't live on campus much. They travel back and forth.
No, this is a commuter school, yes, sir. There are no dorms, no living arrangements. So these kids are commuting from anywhere from Bryant, Little Rock, downtown Little Rock, all the way to right there in Malvern. Kodo has just announced that they're starting the process to integrate with ASU's college education system, which means that after this is complete, all college credits from Kodo will coincide with any ASU campus. So they're allowed to go into Arkansas State University, and all their credits will transfer. I did go to community college right out of high school. I'm a couple hours shy of an associate's degree, I think. And for me, I know it was cheaper for me to go to community college and get my core credits and then go off to university. And as we get into this, age that our kids are coming out of high school or more, I don't want to say overall, but we see a lot of kids going to community colleges to save money, to be able to get their education and not have to go into a lot of student debt. That's just going to be great, because now we have college students that say, well, I want to go to ASU, but hey, now that, you know, Kodo is going to have this education system where I can transfer every single credit that I've earned at half the rate over to ASU, I might as well go to Kodo and stay here at home for a little bit. This is going to increase our population of students from about 1,500 students, and they project it's going to even double, maybe even triple. So right now we minister about 1,500 normal gen ed kids, and then we have about another 200 RN program kids down there. And then we even have a cosmetology school that I haven't even entered in yet. So.
What do your initials stand for?
MBSF, Missionary Baptist Student Fellowship. At Kodo, College of the Wachitas. Yeah. It's a mouthful. I just like to say Kodo because it's a lot easier. I said Wichitas for the longest time, and they're like, it's Wachitas. I'm sorry, I'm from Texas.
How many people does it take to run the MBSF?
Right now, I'm just the only staff position as far as the director goes, but our team runs about three. It's myself and then Cody Wright. He is our music director over there at Second. He comes when he can. And then John Davis, he is a longtime deacon, longtime good guy. I mean, I've met him and we kind of clicked right off the bat because he's a prankster and I'm a prankster. But we minister to these gen ed kids. And when I say gen ed, I mean they're going for their core classes. They're getting their associate's degree in something. And we also have my wife and me, and then a couple other women go down to the nursing program. We just started that last week. This will be our second meeting on Thursday. So,
who prepares the meals for y'all?
I do. Yeah. We don't always do lasagna, let me tell you. I'm going extra for them this week. Usually pizza. All right, because college kids love pizza. So, usually we order pizza, or we'll do garlic bread and lasagna this time. MBSF program has been,
Your program.
My program, I just started in December. Yeah, so this is my first semester. So I'm taking it a little easy because I don't want to change a whole bunch of stuff on people. And I'm not saying necessarily I'm going to. I just want to come in and I want to be able to have as much FaceTime with these kids as possible. I know that when I went to college, it was a time where I figured out that I could make my own decisions and I don't have to be at certain places at certain times because, hey, I'm an adult now. But then at the end of the semester when you got an F or something and you're like, well, I spent more time on the Xbox than I did in class, and now it's a problem. I want to come in and show them that there's a godly standard way to live and that that's the way they need to live by, not the way of the society that's changing all the time. And we're going to get into that in my sermon. So.
What's your average number?
About 10. 10. And I don't focus on numbers just because, you know, Jesus never focused on numbers. It's not... Success isn't measured by that. It's measured by, in my mind, it's measured by how these kids are going to grow. Amen. How they're going to grow in their life. And this is a pivotal time, guys. I can't stress that enough. These kids are going to make decisions that are going to affect them for the rest of their lives. Amen. And we want to be there. We want to be a light in this campus that shows them that this is the way that is going to propel you into your future in a godly state.
Yes. How much opposition
are you facing from other groups and radical groups and that sort of thing? We have had no opposition. I was told last semester, Ethan Pugh is the former director, if you could say that. I mean, he was a director. I'm just saying former. But he received opposition one time. We meet in the science building, okay, guys? So obviously we're going to get some people that don't agree with what we're doing, but... He had one teacher that hid our MBSF sign one time, and we had to track it down. But other than that, there's no opposition whatsoever. I can't stress that enough. It's amazing how every level of the faculty agrees with what we're doing. We have one other Christian group that meets. It's BCM. It's Baptist Convention Meeting, I think, maybe. It's SBC's MBSF, and I've met with him. His name is Michael Clayton. He's a good guy. He grew up in the ABA. And he moved over to an SBC church and kind of went off from there. He's a great guy. I'm going to have him come speak at our MBSF. He believes the exact same thing we do. And it's vice versa. We have a mutual understanding. He meets on Tuesdays. I meet on Mondays. We're good to go. Yes, ma'am?
So I understand you're a student? Yes,
ma'am, I am.
Hebrew, and then after you graduate, what is your future?
I'm going to enter into the master's program, which is a Tuesday and Thursday night program only from 5 to 9. Other than that, I'm going to be on campus as much as I possibly can. I want to be a face in there. I want to be a permanent structure in there that they can say, hey, Raymond Foster's on campus. We need him to go do something. I'm going to be there to do it. I want to be able to mesh with the entire faculty there. That way, when I have something big I want to do, I don't have any opposition for it. They say, go ahead and do it. Yes, sir.
So some additional funds would help you go from an every other week meal or meeting time to a weekly?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, our funds are limited as far as food. I'm taking a part-time salary. That's all I pay. That's all I get paid. And that's at the end of my mind right now. I'm just trying to make sure that I can be on campus and I can afford to be on campus as much as possible. And when I say that, I mean food and things like that, not necessarily pay.
Do you have to work another job?
I was working at Chick-fil-A up until December, and I've since put my 2 weeks notice and I don't work there anymore, but man, it's, I don't eat Chick-fil-A anymore. It's bad. But no, I mean, I want to focus on this. I think God has called me to this ministry. He has called me to serve him, and I don't want to have to focus on that. Now, I understand I'm a husband and I have responsibilities, but I'm an Uber driver. If any of you know what Uber is, I do that from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., and I come and pick my kids up. I take them to school. I go to school, and then we do it all over again the next day. And then on Fridays, I go from 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 3 or 4 in the morning sometimes. And I'll work all night, and that's how I pay bills. So. But I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to do it, and I'm glad that God has given me this opportunity to support my family in this way that I could still go and do his kingdom work on MBSF. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Maybe you've answered this question, but what do you feel like is your greatest needs?
Right now, it's support to be able, and I don't mean financial support, I prayer, and I want some people to come alongside us and be team members in helping these kids, ministering to these kids. I know Hot Springs is a little bit of a drive. I don't know how far it is here to Malvern, maybe 20 minutes maybe. But if y'all would love to come, I'd love to have y'all on Mondays. Come and help feed these kids, talk to them, give them your life experience, because that's what they need right now. They need people to come in and just kind of pour into their lives with life experience and how God has changed yours. Because right now they're getting into this, I can't believe that we live in a society right now where abortion up to 9 months is acceptable. And where all these different things are changing right now. And it's just, it's amazing to me that we're sending our kids out into this society with no structure whatsoever. So if we can get them right out of high school before they enter the workforce, that's one step further. Anyone else? All right, let's go ahead and turn to Jonah 1. We're going to get into our preaching. We're going to look at Jonah 1 today. Now, I told you at the age of 18, I was saved. I did grow up in church, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, and we started going to church. And, as a new Christian, you try to soak in everything you can. And at 18, I felt like I was so behind the ball that I was trying to get my hands on any literature that I possibly could. And at this time, my wife was a Sunday school teacher for like 2 to 4 year olds. And I found myself at the end of the day and at church, we'd go home and I'd get her literature and I'd start reading all these children's Bible stories. And that's where I started. And one of the reasons I want to preach on Jonah 1 here is because this is one of the very first stories I picked up, Jonah and the Whale. And I want to do a little bit of extra studying. I want to preach on this because Jonah's life and his decisions is really can mirror any of us. So Jonah 1, we're going to read the whole chapter. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship, going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one unto his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause is evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou, and what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you and I thank you for this country that we live in, that we can freely worship you. I thank you for this church and its disciples here as they learn more about your words so they can go out into their mission fields, Lord, and just ask that you be with me and use me as a vessel that might be able to speak your word, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we see Jonah has fled God's service. Here we see in the very first verse, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh." Now Jonah is this prophet. He has arrived in the city, and this is a Hebrew name, so bear with me. It's Gath Hepher, and this is his current city dwelling. Now him, how he got here is he was a prophet with Elijah, and they had prophesied that the Assyrians would take over King Cyrus, which was the king over this province at the time. And in a result of the Assyrians not wanting to come any farther south, that they would be able to be left to their own devices, meaning that they would be able to rebuild the temple and able to worship in prayer to the one true Jehovah God. Now, you see, Jonah has this cushy 9-to-5 job. He has this job where he can come and prophesy. He is accepted in his town, in this hometown of Gath, and he's able to maybe even advise on some things during the city council meetings. But you see here, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and he says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, if any of you don't know, Nineveh is actually the capital city of Assyria. This is like a Christian going from the belt buckle, which is what I've been told Arkansas is, of the Bible Belt, to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia, where Christianity is almost even frowned upon so much that you could even be put to death for it. So this prophet that has this cushy 9-to-5 is going in to Nineveh. And look what Jonah says in verse 3. He says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now you see, Jonah, for him to flee from his hometown of Gath to Joppa, which is the marina town that he would eventually catch a ship going to Tarshish, it was 206 kilometers. Now notice this. Jonah didn't say, "Okay, God, I'm going to go where you wanted me to go. I'm going to take the scenic route around, though. I'm going to take my time." No, he went the exact opposite way and said, nope. And he went down to Joppa, 206 kilometers. Now, I don't know about you, but he wasn't cruising in a Cadillac. He would have been lucky to be on a donkey. This would have taken time. He would have had to continually rebel against the Lord to go down into Joppa for many days. Now, Joppa was this marina town where many merchants came through to transport goods across the Mediterranean Sea. This would have been the example of a town sitting on Lake Ouachita. These mariners that they speak of in the Jonah here are like the UPS of this day. They are the ones that took the goods across the sea and made millions doing it. Okay, they were very rich men. They would load down these ships as much as possible so they can get as much coinage that they can for each load. It's like running a business. You don't want to leave a bunch of unused space. You want to use it as much as you can. And I say that because for Jonah to find a merchant ship that actually had enough space to take on another man would have been almost unheard of. And also very expensive. Very expensive. So he grabs a ticket, he gets on this ship, and he starts to head off. And like I said, notice that Joppa and Tarshish are the exact opposite direction of where God has called him to, into Nineveh. How many times have we fled God's work? You see, just as Jonah, we are called to go into our mission fields, whether that be Hot Springs, whether that be Little Rock, whether that be Malvern, and to deliver God's message. Now for us, this isn't God's impending judgment on the city of Nineveh, no, but it is the gospel. How often do we disappoint God in spreading his gospel? These missed opportunities he gives us. You see, the great commandment, as we like to call it, is just one of the many things that we are to do for the Lord. We're to go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But how many times do we fail at just this one thing? missed opportunities. That all that includes, I'm going to give you some examples here, the grocery clerk that you might have saw at Walmart, or the friend that you went out to lunch this week that doesn't necessarily go to church or doesn't believe in Jesus, or that homeless man or woman that you might have passed going or coming into church this morning, or even that person that didn't look exactly like they would receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of these did we encounter and speak up? You see, God has called us to do so many other things. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, He calls us to be humble. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, He calls us to stand fast in Him and stand fast in His Word. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, He calls us to be courageous and to be a light of this world. And most importantly, I believe in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, He calls us to love. To love our neighbor as ourselves. Better yet, to love our neighbors as Jesus loves us. You see, the great commandment isn't the only commandment, but yet we fail to perform even one. This speaks to the love of God. That no matter how much we fail, no matter how much we disappoint Him, we can always find a home in the Lord. You see, we must accept the commandments given to us and accept the responsibilities that go along with them. That brings me to my second point, Jonah accepted. Look at verses 8 and 10. I want to read them for you again, 8 through 10. It says, "Then they said unto him," the mariner's talking to Jonah here, and he says, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" You see, the mariners had just casted lots. This was the way to kind of figure out what's going on. Whose back is this going to fall on, per se? And of course, Jonah being the odd man out, they start interrogating him, saying, "What is your occupation? What do you do for a living? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you from?" And Jonah answers and says to him and to them in verse 9, he says unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I feared the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. You see, Jonah had accepted his fate. He had accepted the reason that they were in the predicament that they were in is because Jonah had fled from the presence of the Lord. How many times are we allowed to come back? First, we must notice that God has not set a limit on forgiveness of sin or even to failure to perform the work that He has given us, because to do that, we would all be doomed. Down at the MBSF program, I hate to see this, and I never thought I would see it in my lifetime, but I did down in the nursing program. You get these people that are broken. They're coming back to try to fix their life. They're trying to repair their nursing degree or their LPN degree just to get something to be able to support them and their family. And you get to them and you say, "You know, here, I'm here for you. This church is here to love on you. We're here to do whatever we can." And they say, "I don't know if I can make it back to church." And we ask them, "Why? Why can't you make it back to church?" "Because I've done so much against God. I'm not worthy. I'm not even possible to step foot in a church again." Can you imagine people in the just the depression that comes over them, thinking that they can't come to God because they've messed up? Because they have transgressed against God. We all are all transgressors. We are all sinners. God doesn't take us after we clean our act up. No, He does that for us. Amen. Even know that Jonah had failed to perform the work that he had set before him. The sin word in there is the act of rebellion against God. He doesn't give up on Jonah. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it tells us that we cannot serve God and mammon, yet we will love one and hate the other. But yet this is a challenge most of the time that we get sucked into. How comfortable can I get before I die? How comfortable can I make this life here on earth? We don't need to kid ourselves that we can serve ourselves and serve our bank accounts or our houses or our cars and serve God at the same time. Your priority has to be set. All of our priorities have to be set. Jonah was set on living. It doesn't seem so bad. He just wanted to live. He knew he'd surely die in Nineveh. And yet we see that God delivers him from that. God has no limit on how many times we can come back into his service and to get it right in our lives and to get back on track. Because to limit this would limit God's love and it would limit God's ability, and that's just not possible. Now, this isn't a free pass to go do whatever you want during the week and come back to on Sunday and get it right with God, but this is a way that if you get back and you get off in the world and you get busy and it happens, that you are never too far gone to step foot back in one of the Lord's churches and to get it right. You see, Jonah accepted the fact that God is just, and as he is just, he will not let us stand for he will not stand for unrighteous behavior. I love my children to death. I do. My daughter wanted to run around the house and eat birthday cake from last night, this morning. I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and studying my sermon this morning, and she gets up at 6 a.m. I tell her, no, you're not getting birthday cake. I love you, but I'm not going to have you crashing on the way to church and then being all crazy in the pew. All right? They want to do all this crazy stuff, and I love them, and I want them to be able to have fun and do whatever they want, but I will not stand for unrighteous behavior. And just as God the Father, the Heavenly Father that we all have, he will not stand for unrighteous behavior. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. You think that you can get away from fleeing God's service? You think you can get away with unrighteous behavior? Just ask the first two how that worked out. Didn't work out very well. You see, us playing small in this world, trying to get by without notice, trying to not make waves in this pool of life isn't helping anyone. Us as Christians getting by in this world saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sunday, this is my church, well, I hope you come over here, but I'm not going to present the gospel to you. That's not helping anyone. Because now we live in a society, like I said, where abortion up to 9 months, up to birth, and they're even trying to present a bill that you can have the baby, lay them on the table, and then see if you want them. That's what us not making waves in this pool of life has gotten us. It has gotten us to the point where illegal drug use in some countries or in some states are acceptable. It's gotten us to the point where homosexual relationships are not only accepted, but they're nationally recognized. That's where our society has gotten because Christians don't want to step up. We need to correct our way of thinking. We need to find ourselves going to bat for the right reasons. See, we love to go to bat for all the wrong reasons, don't we? I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. I've been a Red Sox fan since Euculus was on the Red Sox. All right, not because they won the World Series last year. But I love watching baseball. I love going to bat for all the players of the Red Sox. And I will fight tooth and nail on Facebook over some Yankees fans. We love to go to root for our baseball teams. We love to go to bat for our favorite actors and what they believe in, what they stand for on their national and social platforms. We love to even go root for our favorite superhero movies. But how many of us find ourselves rooting in public on our social platform for our Savior Jesus Christ? Amen. And lastly, God corrected. How many times are we going to need to be corrected before we get the hint? As a father, I could tell you, my daughter, I have to correct her about 10 and a half times before she gets the hint. Look at verse 13. I want to read it. Go back to 12. I want to read 12 and 13. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Jonah is telling the mariners after they say, what can we do to make it out of this? And Jonah tells them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea so that the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Now, I don't know about if you thought about this, but the mariners, they would have had at least 1,000 trips under their belt across the Mediterranean Sea. They would have been through calm seas. They would have been through rough seas. They would have been through storms. For a storm to come about that they were exceedingly afraid, it would have been had to have been some kind of storm. And they're telling Jonah, they come into the last point of their life, they're desperate, they're saying, what can we do to make it out? We're just trying to survive. We've already casted over all the cargo that is going to make us thousands of coins here. We've already tried to lighten the ship as much as we can so we can get out of this. What else can we do? And Jonah tells them, just take me up and cast me overboard. And look at verse 13, what do they do? Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. for the sea was wrought in tempest against them. You see, Jonah gave him the solution, just as God gives us a solution in his word. Yet, the men try to paddle to shore to get out of the storm because they didn't want to lay Jonah's innocent blood on their hands. You see, it took Jonah being swallowed up by a great fish to realize that correction was needed to take place. As the men tried to paddle to shore to get out of the storm, God increased the storm against them so that they could not reach the beach or the shore or the bank. Because if they were to reach that bank, they surely would throw Jonah on dry land and Jonah would get up, dust himself off, and head back to the next ship. You see, God's correction had to be one where Jonah's complete attention would be on him, where he would be able to realize that his life was taking a 180-degree turn away from his service. Because you see, you don't wake up one day as a Christian and say, well, I'm not going to serve God anymore. I'm going to go the opposite way. No, it takes a little bit, a little bit, and a little bit, and then you finally look back and there's God on the opposite side. We often need correction in our lives, but we don't always love it. As the short ministry that I've had of 7-8 years, there's two reactions that I've seen from God's correction. One, where you get those people that the fire is rekindled for the Lord and they have this renewed sense of service to God. And then the second one is those that need just a little bit more correction. We get into Jonah 2, I want you to go home and read this. Jonah gets back to the basics. As he finally hits rock bottom, he turns his face back to God. He realizes, just as we should, that no matter how our life is going, no matter if it's horrible and we're being called to Nineveh, or yet it's going great and we're getting this 9-to-5 in Gath, that if we're on a valley or a mountaintop, that the need for the Lord is constant. God's love and his power and his righteousness is constant in every one of our lives. We must get back to the basics from time to time. We must be reminded why we are here. You see, the Bible tells us that our life is just but a vapor in the eye of eternity. We need to use it wisely. As we sit here this morning, I pray that you know or you will know how to do that. That you will know how to use your life wisely. Because there's nothing wrong with being comfortable in this life. There's nothing wrong with having a surplus of money or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to tell you this morning. But where is our priority lay? Jonah fled from God's service because he was afraid. Because he didn't want to face adversity in Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, where he would surely be put to death. But ultimately he accepted that God has a path that we must all walk on, and if we are led astray, his correction is needed so that we can get back to service to him. So I pray that this morning you know how to do that. If you need correction in your life, Brother Sam, if you want to do a time of invitation, I appreciate your opportunity, and I thank you for allowing me to come speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as you hear Brother Randy talk from soaking up, stand with him for an invitation. Whatever's on your need on your heart, that'd be a good time to take care of. You know, we've been talking about some of the same things that he talked about this morning. I'm challenging you know to get to invite two people out of the circle of people that you see every day. And it's hard to do, isn't it, Brother Randy? I mean, We see the same people every day, but what God's telling us doing there to Jonah was he was putting outside of his comfort zone so that God might be honored and glorified. And that's really what we're all here about anyway, isn't it? I mean, what's our purpose? Honor and glorify God. Spread the word. Tell people about Jesus. And so this morning maybe you have a need. The Lord knows what that need is. The Holy Spirit will lead you to it. But all of our desire, every one of our desires should be to spread the gospel. This is just a short time we have here on this earth, and eternity lasts forever. So share the gift with people that just keeps on giving. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This morning, I admonish you to accept Jesus before it's determined too late. Because in all reality, Satan would have you to think that all the choices in life are just out there. But the truth of the matter is there's only really two choices. And that's where you're going to spend eternity, either in the presence of God or in hell with Satan and his angels. So the choice is yours. Do you know Jesus? I pray you do. If you don't, if you'll come right down here, we'll talk about how to do that. All you have to do is trust and believe. You know what else? Sometimes I think maybe people hold back a little bit because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. If you want to make this church group happy, give your Lord heart to the Lord.
Amen.
There couldn't nothing make us any happier than that. Or maybe you need to dedicate your life to service. Maybe he's called you to preach or to go in the mission field or whatever it might be. All we have to do is trust in nobody. Take that first step and he'll take us the rest of the way. Brother Gene?
Page 191.